Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Lamed Gimel, Avodah Zarah 33b, pagination is 66. We're discussing cases of a container that was used to store non-kosher wine, and we're looking to kasher it so that it can be used in the kosher kitchen. And by way of discussion, we're going to be discussing all types of kashering, even though to a certain extent, the non-kosher wine, since it's cold, might actually need a lesser level of kashering than certain other types of hot use utensils. But we'll discuss the different methods of kashering. On the fifth line of Amud Beis, the statement, Techziran lekivshan ha'esh v'nislavnu. There's a case where you put it into the fiery furnace and it got white. It got freshened up. So this whitening is a sign that it's been sufficiently kashered. Let's drop down two lines. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, Kalkanim shalov de kochavim, you have a case of containers of the non-Jews used for non-kosher wine. Sheikh Ziron the Kivshan Ha'esh, you put them into the fiery furnace. Kevan Shanashra Zifson Mehen Mutarim. Once the tar has disintegrated, it's going to be permitted. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Lotema de Nasron, it doesn't have to disintegrate. Ala filu rafa mirpa, even if it softens. Afagav de la Nasar, even if it didn't melt. That would be sufficient. Kinsa. What about the method that heats the utensil from the inside using splinters, so to speak, little chips of wood? Peligiba Rav Acha v'Ravina. That's an argument. Chad Asa v'Chad Shari. Some say that doing it on the inside and it melts the tar. So that's a machlokes chadosa v'chadshari v'ilchos hakamanda osar. And the halacha is like the one who forbids it. That's not enough to put the heat source inside and it melts the tar. That's not hot enough. In Shochan Aruch, Simon Kuf Lamed Hei, Sif Yudalid, Kali Cheresh Neshtamish Bem Yayin Nesech, if you have an earthenware vessel that was used for non-kosher wine, if you put it in the furnace so that the heat is coming from the outside of the pot, and it got whitened, even if the inside tar has not melted, it just softened, shari, and that's what we saw in the Gemara, that's enough, because the heat is from the outside. So if it radiated through the walls of the pot and got to the inside to soften the tar, that would be enough. But if you're doing the heat source on the inside using these splinters of wood, lomahani, it doesn't help that you softened the tar. Elam ken hisikin kolkach, you would have to heat it up to the point at sha'ovar chomam litzad chutz, that the heat should reach the outside of the pot, kolkach shayad saledes bo, that you could have such heat that the hand recoils from that heat. And that's what we're describing. It depends where the heat source is coming from as to how we're describing that it indeed got hot enough. Now, where we finished in the Gemara, slip into the Tosfos and drop down two lines. Because of Harav Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, Rabbeinu Moshe of Kutzi said, "De'afagav de'paskinon hilchasa kamanda osar." Even though we paskin like the opinion that when you put the heat source on the inside, it's not enough that you melt the tar; it has to make it to the outside walls with intense heat. Mikom makom, nevertheless, there is a case of kashering that's very useful to know. Lichvos hachavis alo esh, if you're turning over a pot on the fire, imo esh gadol kolkach, if the fire is indeed so hot v'chozak mibifnim, on the inside of the pot. Sheyado soledes mibachutz, that it's yad soledes on the outside, mutter. That would be sufficient kashering, and the pot becomes permitted, as we described in Shulchan Aruch as well, v'choshev kamo hagola. And that's the same as doing hagola. And this opens up an interesting avenue for us when we encounter a pot that needs to be kashered, let's say for Pesach, and sometimes the pot is too big, it's unwieldy to kasher it using hagola. You would have to fill it up with water, boil it all up, put in a hot stone, for example, to cause it to overflow properly. It could get very messy. Whatever considerations are causing us not to be ready to do hagola on this pot, one method is to pop it into the oven and to leave it there to the point that it indeed reaches this intense type of kashering. So we're describing, if the heat source is coming from the outside of the pot, so the inside tar, if there would be tar, in their case there was tar, but it has to be that hot that the tar would be softening. If the heat source is from the inside, it has to be yad soledes on the outside. And the description that I heard from someone who's in the field of kashering people's homes, and he uses this method because the overflow method of hagala on people's stovetop can sometimes get messy, water all over. If it's an electric stove, people get nervous regarding the electric connections. In a gas stove, you could put out the pilot if there is one. Whatever the considerations are, sometimes he uses the oven method, and his description is you leave it in there for high heat for about 20 minutes, and to verify it, you touch it with your oven mitts. And if your oven mitts, even with your oven mitts on, it's intensely hot, then you're on very comfortable turf that you've kashered it properly as far as hagala goes. Should something need libun, so that's a higher level of kashering, that's for bake pans and things like that, frying pans, things that were not used with liquid, and those things need higher heat, a self-clean oven would work for that, but regular high heat of an oven is not the way we would kasher that. One other consideration, even though popping it into the oven sounds so simple, and likewise, regular hagala might for some people be really simple to do, you should pay attention that underneath the rim at the top of the pot, there is sometimes residue that's in there that you could actually see. And if you introduced some sort of heat source, a wooden match that's lit, or a candle, or an open gas stovetop, you could actually see that there's grime there that is burning off. And that would be a discussion. If that's on a level of food, then you can only kasher the pot once it's clean. And we would have to somehow clean or burn out whatever's in there. Likewise, in halacha, the case of patches was described, or the spot where the screw meets. If there's grime there, sometimes knives, the handle with the blade, if there are food particles, they would have to be dealt with separately. But again, we're introducing the concept that if the heat, by way of open fire, some sort of libun, is introduced, it could very well serve us in place of hagala, the boiling water method. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.